With the portfolio stat, there were initially six questions related to cloud. With this most recent quarter portfolio stat, we were able to add a seventh question in here, who's your FedRAMP point of contact? Because what we've learned is that the person doing the reporting in portfolio stat, not necessarily from the CIO shop, and you know, they weren't always talking. So we could tell by the data that was coming in, because there's information that we had from some agencies and some components that wasn't reported in portfolio stat, and there was things reported in there, of course, that we didn't know about either. So we've done an analysis of that data, pulled together what's in there, and we've really looked at, and we're going back to OMB saying, okay, here's what's in portfolio stat, and with the addition of getting a FedRAMP POC, we're looking to get even more information from the agencies to find out what they're working on, because right now we don't have a broad insight to what the agencies are doing. When they tell us, great, but we don't have that mechanism to see that. I think some of the cloud providers know better than we do what's going on and what the agencies are working on.
And once you guys can understand what you're working on, how's that going to lead you down a path to make FedRAMP better?
Part of what I think is going to come out of this is when you look at communities of interest and you look at, you know, whether it's somebody working on imagery or you're looking at emergency management, some of those communities of interest, I think this is an opportunity to bring some of them together and say, you know what, you're both accrediting the same thing. Why are you working on this? You know, do it once and everybody can leverage it, and getting that participation. And I think that collaboration among the agencies, you know, that trust is starting to build a little bit with the FedRAMP process, and I think we can further drive that.
Another change that I've heard from industry is you guys are going to start making who is going through the JAB process or the agency process public. Is that still on tap to say company X, Y, and Z are into the process versus I think before it was less transparent or less public?
Initially, with who was in the readiness process going through that, there was a lot of reluctance on industry. They didn't want their name out there because FedRAMP was new and shiny. We hadn't proven it successful yet. So a couple of weeks ago, we actually posted up a soft launch, if you will, on who's in the process, who have we had kickoff with. So that list is available now. So agencies don't have to come see us. You know, they don't have to ask us who's in process, who's being worked right now. So it saves a step for the agencies. They can see what's going on and even more transparency. And before we did this, we did reach out to all those cloud providers to say, we're getting ready to do this. The JAB, of course, approved it. You know, we brought it to them, got their approval, and we did put it up online.
The update to the baselines around FedRAMP. I know there was a question here about NIST and 853 Rev 4. What's the latest you can tell us in terms of whether it's timing or just what's the process by which the next round of updates for FedRAMP standards would come?
With the Rev 4, we've gone through the public comment period. We've done our reviews. We're very close to having a final baseline. A little bit of our holdup right now is NIST on the 853A and the test cases. We're holding on that because of NIST. Once we get through that process, finalize the test cases, we'll be ready to go. According to NIST, we're looking at probably April to finish the test cases because we don't want to go out and build our own if NIST is doing some. So we're working through that with them. I'm hoping for timing that real soon, summertime, by summer, that we'll have the Rev 4, at least the baseline up, and everybody can start looking at it and with the test cases as well. So working on that.
How's it going to work?
We've already gone through the public comment period. That was in July of last year.
For Rev 4, but how's it compared to FedRAMP? Because will FedRAMP standards change with as NIST 853 changes?
With the changes, what we did when we posted in July, that was the new FedRAMP baseline, what we proposed out there for public comment. So that Rev 4 for the FedRAMP baseline in July, that was what we were looking at for the baseline. Now, we got a ton of industry comments on that to say, this really doesn't apply to cloud, this does apply to cloud, or you should add this control, remove this one. And we've done a lot of analysis and great feedback from industry, the three PAOs, and the government on that. So we've come to, I think, where a good place where we know what the baseline is going to look at. We've got about seven controls that we're hashing out that we're saying, is this of value to a cloud service provider? So we're real close on finalizing that FedRAMP Rev 4 baseline.
June is coming. It's also an anniversary for the FedRAMP PMO. I think it'll be the two-year anniversary. So let's talk about one interesting, I don't know if change is the right word, but one interesting update is the Defense Information Systems Agency is now reviewing some of the packets. Talk about their addition to this. They're not replacing the DoD CIO, is that correct?
That's correct. Well, the DoD CIO, Terry Takai, certainly has she's a JAB member. She still reviews the final authorization and signs off on the approvals on all of that. But what she's done is she's brought in the security personnel from DISA that are working with the cloud broker team. And those security engineers and security experts are now part of our team. So when the packages are being reviewed, it has DISA's viewpoint on it, so that when somebody like an Autonomic Resources or one of the other vendors comes through, DISA has already seen that package. They know exactly what's in it. They don't have to do the work twice. So do it once, reuse it again. And so by having DISA as part of our team and reviewing it, you know, it's DISA's learning how to get that federal view, but they're also having input on what they need and a heads up on reviewing the packages. So I think it's been beneficial all the way around.
Did this come from a specific need or a specific reason? Did JAB or did the DoD CIO say, you know, we really should get DISA involved because of their expertise or because they're going to run so much of the cloud services through DoD? Did you get a sense of why this came about?
Terry Takai actually drove this, and she was the one that said, you know what, we've got the cloud broker out there. We really need to bring that team in on the process. And she was the one who really drove it and recognized the need for that. And that's how that was brought together.
And when you talk about this, the cloud service providers, there's been two main ways that you guys have gone through it, the JAB, the Joint Authorization Board, and the agency authorization. There's actually been a third way that we don't hear too much about. And you guys are starting to hear more questions about that third way. Talk a little bit about what that is.
Third way is the cloud, the CSP supplied. And that has been in the ConOps. It's been in the guide to FedRAMP. Not a lot of information around it because when the FedRAMP was stood up, not sure the level of interest around that. And we're really starting to get inquiries from small businesses who don't want to partner with the big infrastructure providers, but they do have an implementation in a data center. And they say, how do I do this? Now, the CSP supply does not have, my office doesn't review it, an agency doesn't review it, but they do are required to hire a 3PAO. So by hiring a 3PAO, all the testing is done. If they do all their documentation, they can give it to us. We'll do a completeness check to make sure all the documentation's there. So just that completeness check, and we'll make it available for agencies to look at. So when you look at an agency, they could say, as they're working with a small business, the small business can say, you know what, I've got my package out there. It's in the secure repository. Nobody's looked at it yet, but it's available for you, but we did do the testing with a 3PAO. An agency could have a relationship with one of the infrastructure providers and could say, you know what, I want you to use this infrastructure provider. Then they got to figure out the delta of controls. And, you know, there'll be some additional documentation and testing, but that small business has already taken the first step in getting things done.
And that first step is partly to quicken the process so the agency can use that cloud service, whether it's a software as a service, most likely, because I think that's from a lot of small businesses, that's what they're looking at. And that's the goal, is just to ease that burden.
Yeah, because when you're doing your SSP, that documentation, it takes a while to do that. So by the small business getting that done ahead of time, doing their test plans and the reports, hiring that 3PAO really gets them ahead of the curve, I think.
And that was an interesting conversation today at the Cloud Advisory Board meeting, where they talked about inherit as much as you can. That seemed to be the message. Are you seeing that more and more, where vendors are trying to take advantage of others who have already been through the process, very similar to this third path that you just described?
Absolutely. We're seeing even, I'll go back to small businesses again, even medium and some of the larger businesses saying, you know what, I don't want to invest in infrastructure anymore. I want to use somebody else's infrastructure and then put my application or my platform within that infrastructure. So when you look at the infrastructure requirements, there's a lot of what we call PE control, the physical controls, that physical environment. So a lot of those controls, they will inherit that control, and they don't have to document it. They don't have to test it. It's already been done already. And they just have to look at, okay, what is my implementation need? What's the difference between the two? And then get the testing done and move on.